What's up, family? We are back. No more. We made an executive decision that we just gonna move forward and get right to it.
Get right to it.
If you're new here, dang, Ray.
My bad. Go ahead.
All right. We gotta work on this intro. This is the second episode.
Right. We're a little rusty. You know, it's been some time.
We're easing our way into this.
We're gonna get back.
But if you're new here, my name is Keon.
And I am Destiny.
So beautiful.
Thank you. You're so handsome. Ouch.
She's kind of strong there, Buster.
And we are the heels, and we taking you on our journey. That's why it's called what? Journey to the Heels.
We didn't practice. Okay. That was nice, though.
Come on.
Do it again. I wasn't ready. Do it again.
Okay. You said your name is? What's your name?
No, babe. Just go straight.
But it flowed better.
All right.
Thank you.
What's up, everybody? My name is Keon.
And I'm Destiny. And we are the heels, and we're taking you on our journey. And that's why this is called Journey to the Heels.
No, you said, this is why this is called what? And then I was going
to
say,
Journey to the Heels. Oh, okay. We'll keep it for the next episode. Right. Amen.
All right, y'all. Today, we're going to be talking about marriage boundaries.
Yes. Marriage boundaries and the principles that we use to base our marriage off of.
Yeah. I do want to shout out, because PV has a quote about, you show God how you value a blessing by the boundaries that you put around it. And I feel like you have been the biggest blessing that God has given to me.
Thank you.
I think when you show God how you honor that by protecting that.
100%.
By like how you put in things in place so that marriage is safe, that marriage is thriving and it's healthy. And this is kind of like what this conversation is going to be about. The boundaries that we have for our marriage, but also kind of like the core principles that we live by each day to make sure that our marriage is healthy, ensuring that it's thriving, ensuring that the enemy or anybody can't come in what God has put together.
Yeah.
That's more than just a scripture or a statement. Like, you actually have to put practical things to ensure that happens. So this is what this episode is about.
Yeah. And if you're new here, we had tons and tons of boundaries during our dating experience, and it really came to fruition in our relationship based off of our mentors. Shout out to Josh and Anastasia.
Yep.
They have been so influential in our dating, marriage, relationship, just the whole nine. They still cover us today. And they were the ones who challenged us, actually, because we thought that we could make it without the boundaries. Yeah. And they challenged us as in, like, basically, you guys cannot. So y'all need to go ahead, and they allowed us to write our own, to bring them back to them and say, okay, this is what we think. And then they challenged them again. Like, y'all are skating around it. Like, do the real thing.
Yeah.
And I'm forever grateful to them, because I felt like that was such great practice for as we prepare for even going into marriage and creating new boundaries for our marriage.
Yeah. So I pray if you're listening that you're able to take notes and maybe even start considering boundaries that you could put in your relationship, in your marriage. And, you know, these are free games. So if you want to take some of these, if this it sparks more conversation for you.
Yeah, for sure.
So we have different conversations with you and your partner. Hopefully this is what this episode is about for you.
Yeah. So let's get into it.
Let's do it. First one, the first boundary or kind of like principle that we put in place is that we aim to not disagree publicly. So anytime we're having a conversation, whether it's in like friends, family, or even like on a podcast, on a stage where we do speak often and speaking engagements, we're not gonna be disagreeing with each other for everybody to see.
Yeah. One thing that I feel like we do, even like prior to each episode, we literally talk about what we wanna talk about and what we're not gonna talk about.
Yeah.
And I feel like that kind of thing, or even like when we go to some family functions,
we're not bringing that topic up.
You know what I'm saying? And we talk about this is in a car on the way there, and that's okay. So we are on the same accord. When you're on one accord, that's how you move. But when you don't, and you just letting things kind of just go by the seat of their pants, that's when things can get messed up. And so that's why communication is such a huge aspect of marriage, because it really plays a vital role in everything. So we talk about things ahead of time to try to make sure that we negate anything that could come up.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we may be on our way somewhere arguing, but when we get in that room, we're not arguing anymore.
Or we table it. Something might be said in that moment, and we don't agree with it. I'm not going to disagree with you in that moment.
Yeah.
But when we get in the car,
let's talk about it.
Hey, like when you said that made me feel this way.
Exactly. So, So, and I think like, healthy. Again, we talk about covering our partner a lot, and that's something that's very important in marriage as well. And I think that principle aligns with covering your partner. I don't want to be going in somewhere looking mad and frustrated, and mm-hmm. it's supposed to be a joyous time. I think being able to put it to the side and table it for this family event, church, whatever it may be, is necessary so that, you know, you that's also a way where you can kind of let people in if you are arguing in front of people, if you are showing attitude amongst it. You want to keep up that united front. Mm-hmm. Now, not saying like, you know, stuff's happening where it's like, you need to get a divorce. I'm saying, you know, we're having an argument or an intense fellowship, or, you know, we're not seeing eye to eye. That's what's going on. And we say, hey, church about to start. We'll talk about it later. We'll go to eat and we'll figure it out. So cool. Just something to keep in mind.
Yep. All right. The second one is along those same lines. We got quite a few, y'all. So hang out. I hope y'all enjoy it. But the second one is we always aim to cover each other in rooms that the other person is not in. Mm-hmm. It's just essentially the same thing as, along with covering each other publicly, we try to do it privately.
Yeah.
So somebody's saying something like, hold on now, you're not talking about my wife. You know what I'm saying? Or like, nah, Destiny is grown in that area. So yeah. Like, that hasn't happened to us.
Yeah, but we
just
want
to make sure that we put that in place, because as we continue to grow, some people might be, you know, have certain feelings, or mm-hmm. we might be in a family function, like you said. And mm-hmm. like, I ain't like how Destiny, like, wait, hold on. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Keon was doing all this, and like, nah. You yeah. know what I'm saying? So
100%.
Okay, so the next one, this is more of like a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
We try not to have long conversations with someone of the opposite sex alone
mm-hmm.
if they're not a close friend of ours or somebody that we already know
yes.
about. So especially like after church, or maybe like after an event, or like in a certain area where it's like public, we just try to mitigate that.
Yeah, and I think that's one that we got from our mentors, actually. Or they encouraged that one, I would say, per se. Would you say?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's just, again, when you're married, perception, I think, can be everything yeah. from the people who are around. Like, we may know that Keon is friends with this girl and they grew up together, but someone else may see it and take it as a certain way, yeah. you know, and then it could be like, oh, I seen Keon talking. And it's just like, we don't have time for that. So we just put these things in place right. to continue, again, right. cover our person, cover each other. It's nothing to say, oh, babe, come over here. I'm talking to whoever, like, come with me to talk to this yeah. person. And you may, that could be a bit much for someone, but we just want to make sure that we are covering one another. That's another example of doing that.
And if you're not there, like, we bringing somebody with us.
Exactly.
Like, let's say I'm talking to somebody, mm-hmm. but you're not there, like, hey, bro, can you come over here real quick?
Yeah.
Just accountability.
Yeah. So know? We want to make sure that, like, we're writing our narrative of what's happening. You know, so I think that those little small things play a huge role.
Yeah. And this next one is kind of similar, but you can't pray with anyone of the opposite sex without someone we are close to present. Or somebody, one of us are present. And I feel like this is more so for me, if I'm honest, because I hope no guy's about to be going to my wife and asking for her to pray.
No, really. I haven't had that experience.
But I do, but, like,
yeah.
have experienced that. And then even
what he does.
Yeah, what I do mm-hmm. in our school, like, a teacher might say, hey, Ms. Keon, can you pray for me?
Yeah.
So I always ask, like, one of my, like, close, like, Ms. Montague, somebody who's, like, a right-hand person to me at the school, mm-hmm. or my mom, she's at the school often, so... we'll pray with one of the teachers. But I just always try to be conscious of that. Or even just like in life in general.
And the reason behind that, and I think I want to share the reasoning, just because I feel like, again, these are just what we do. But I think that sometimes with this being kind of practical, it's just the fact that like in prayer can be something that can be truly emotional. And
intimate.
And intimate. Yeah. And it could even be subconscious that someone prays for you and you're like, oh my gosh, I just so needed that. Oh my God. And then you may look forward to like, oh, I want her to pray for me all the time, or her to pray for me. And it's just like, this person is married, you know, like if they, you know, and that's why we just do those things to create and ensure that like, this isn't a one-on-one thing. This yeah. is me, you, and this third person that I invited in. So again, just to cover our marriage.
Yeah, for sure. That's good. The next one is, we must pray together before every assignment, every speaking engagement, et cetera. And I think that's just something that it's just one of our core values. Like, we always try to pray, invite the Holy Spirit in whatever we do.
Yeah.
Because it also, I feel like it also breeds humility, because yeah. we're not going on the stage saying we got all the answers. Yeah. Like, nah, God, we need you to speak through us. And it's bringing about intimacy within us to make sure we're on the same page in alignment. So
100%.
Saying that that's been healthy.
Yeah. I don't have anything really else to add to that one.
Okay. Next one is our Sunday meetings. And that's just like, we talked about that last year.
For sure.
So we don't really got to go into that.
Make sure that's something that we still,
staple every Sunday. Let me not miss that.
So, if you're new here, really quick, it's just we ask each other, do you feel seen, known, loved? No, seen, known, heard, not loved.
Come on. If you get it right, it was meant to be.
Stop. Ken used to always play with me about that.
It's three of them. Come
on. Do you feel seen? Do you feel heard? And do you feel... Why is it skipping me?
The lights are
wanted.
Bright.
Do you feel there wanted? We go. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
And then we asked how communication was this week. We asked how we feel about our finances, how we feel physically, and how we can support the other person and how we feel spiritually. So we ask each other those questions every Sunday in order to just do a temperature check on where we are relationally.
This is more of a boundary. No interactions with someone that we on social media or on the phone that we had previous relationships with.
Yeah, so it's none of that over here, you know, none of that like friendship vibe, you know? It's just once why I'm done with you, I'm done with the follow. You know what I'm saying? You just, you know, unfollow and keep on moving.
We have
keep on grooving, you know?
Talk, discuss.
Nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps it simple.
Yep, honestly, truly. I mean, again, this is just what we do.
Yeah.
This is just what we do.
It's been pretty healthy.
Amen.
We must tell each other we love each other before we get off the phone, no matter what.
Yeah, before we got the phone and before we leave each other. Like, if we're going separate ways, like, if I'm leaving the house, can't leave the house, bye, baby, love you.
Yeah, you want to make sure, no matter, we know God's going to cover us.
Yes.
We're speaking life, but in case, the last thing we want to say is, I love you.
Amen. Even if you're having a tussle.
Yeah, that'd be
those moments be funny, too. They'd be really funny because it'd be like, I'm leaving. Well, I'm not leaving like that, but like, all right, bye, babe, I gotta go here.
I
would want to walk out just on something like, bye.
All right, love you.
Yeah. But it's like, no, come back here and give me a kiss. And amen.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. All right, next one is we can't commit to anything or say yes to anything without speaking to each other first.
I love this
one. And this is a really good one because it keeps your partner involved in everything that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it varies. It could be like speaking engagements. Mm-hmm. It could be like family functions. It could be like invites out, dinner, all those things. Because, you know, we got friends, we got family. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we are keeping each other abreast of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very healthy for us.
Yeah. I just think it makes it easy.
Yeah.
Just, hey, babe, can I? Or not. More. It's not like, it is can I, would you say? It's like, hey, so-and-so invited me to go to dinner on Friday. You cool with that? Are you okay with that? Sure. It takes 5 seconds, but it's just also letting them know, okay, boom, let me go over the counter. Do we have any plans? Am I missing something? Okay, awesome. So it's really just ensuring that, again, back into the alignment and the oneness thing, that communication of the small things really makes it easy.
But I feel like that also requires humility, too.
Yeah,
because
I guess,
you can really be awesome, like, I don't got to tell you what I know. I'm grown. Like, I can go out to eat. Oh, I got to tell you what I'm going to buy things. It ain't about that. Like, it's really just about us keeping each other informed and make sure that we also respecting each other, because you asking me or I'm asking you, like, you could have been planning something for me on that night.
Yep.
But if you already made plans, now you're missing out on your blessing.
Yep. And it goes literally both ways. Keon, hey, the guys want to hang out on Friday. You cool
what you
that?
Think about
It's super simple.
Very simple. The next one is we haven't necessarily had to, well,
recently maybe.
We did have one. We must sleep together in the bed every night.
We almost had one, but he fought me tooth and nail.
But he delivered us. Hey.
So yes, so we have never, and we won't ever have a moment where we are one on the couch, one on the bed. You heard what I said? Okay.
Why are you rapping today?
Just I don't know. The words are just, they're there. But basically, I feel like no argument is enough to do that, to separate. And I feel like we truly do try our best. And, you know, from our intense fellowship episode, to try to get to the resolution of a problem as quick as possible. But in the moments that we can't, that don't mean you're not coming to sleep in this bed.
Yeah.
You're going to come sleep in this bed. And we'll talk about it again tomorrow. We'll try again. And we're finna pray tonight and talk to Jesus. Soften up your heart. Amen.
That's the next one. And we have... The reason why I have my phone out is because we have this in our phone. Like, yes, we have a shared note mm-hmm. where we just put all of our boundaries, all of our principles in.
Yeah.
And review it from time to time, but just make sure that it's all written. But yeah, the next one is we pray every night, yes, no matter what.
We pray every
but
night.
But them prayers on them argument nights.
On them argument nights. I'd be like, Jesus, bless my husband.
What you got?
Amen. I be that no prayer. That prayer be so short. Normally, I'm praying to Jesus. Okay, I'm praying about for everything and everybody. But when we have an intent, I be like, Amen, God, thank you, Amen. Yeah. Like I just be ready to be done to pray before I even pray.
Yeah, but and we alternate each night.
We do.
And we
take prayer requests.
And there's nothing like some nights might be longer than others, mm-hmm. but we just want to make sure that's a consistent thing. So the next one is something that we actually talked to our mentors about. And we talked about this before, but we can't loan anyone more than X amount of money. Like we set a number and we agreed to like, this is the max amount of money that we'll give. Like, let's say if a family member hit a jam or a friend hit a jam, because that can easily cause, well, that's my brother. So like, we need to give him what? And like, no. Or that's my close friend. Like we grew up together. Like mm-hmm. they really in the bind. Like,
We agreed
to the number. So like, as long as it's no more than that number, we good.
Yeah.
But I think that's, we never been in that situation.
Yeah, we haven't been in it.
But
yet. Just for whatever the case day it does comes. Come. If it does
Another come. Boundary or kind of like, I guess, foreshadowing is nobody can stay in our house longer than 2 weeks outside of our parents. And these siblings get 3 weeks.
Amen, because period. Yeah, shout out to y'all.
Gabby, Noah. Christian and Makai,
y'all can stay if y'all needed to. I know y'all got somewhere to stay.
3 weeks.
Amen.
All right. But yeah, we just wanted to make sure that, because that also can cause.
Again, it could be a friend, a family member. They down, you know. Yeah, they got that's kicked human. Out. Things
they,
happen.
Something happened and they're like, can we just stay for a little bit? But a little bit turned to 3 years and that can change the whole trajectory. Now, our parents, they have unlimited assets just because of everything that they've done.
Yes.
Yeah. So. This is another thing that we talked about before, is that like we're not going to anyone about our problems outside of our mentors.
Yes.
Unless we have permission from each other to talk.
And the assigned people.
And the assigned people.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we talked about this also last season too. We don't talk about our marriage, you know, personal conversations with anyone besides our mentors and the designated people, unless like it's a situation that we have already overcome. Like this whole season, we would not talk to y'all about this in the current moment.
Yeah.
This whole season is because we've already, you know, overcome and put things in place to grow. But basically we don't share things with our friends, our sister, brother, anybody. It's really just,
especially in the middle of it.
Yeah. We're not doing that. In the midst of it. We truly do wait until after we have come out of it.
Yeah. This is like more of like a practical boundary that I think is healthy. And I think it can apply to a lot of couples, is that whenever we're going out, like particularly to like a space where we know it's going to be a lot of people, or like it might be a little lively, I guess that's a good word, like a lounge or like a birthday brunch or something. Mm-hmm. We try to identify an accountability partner when going out alone.
So
like say like, it's a guy's night, and the guys want to go get brunch, or they want to go out.
Yeah, for somebody's birthday
or something like that. I'm going to identify one of my friends.
Yes.
And just like, hey, bro, like, just make sure I'm staying integral tonight. Make sure, like, if somebody I'm talking to me too long, like, just make sure you got my back. Like, just make sure I'm going home honorable.
Yeah.
And the same for her.
Yeah, same. And I think that those...
Oh, and those people are somebody who we both know.
Yes, and we tell each other, like, okay, boom, if I'm going out with the girls tonight, this, I'm going to say, hey, babe, X person is my accountability partner tonight. You know, just in case X, Y, Z. Not just in case, but, like, you know, this is who the person is.
Yeah. I think that's healthy. And, again, it's just a lot of preventative measures that we try to put in. Because, like, this is what we talk about often when, like, we talk about how, like, marriage requires work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the work, like putting all this stuff in place, like talking about all these things, like it's a lot, but like it's necessary if you want a healthy.
Yeah, and marriage. I mean, like, just how we're attracted to each other, we don't stop becoming attractive to other people just because we're married.
Yeah.
So people may come up to Keon, or men may come up to me, but it's our job to then, okay, my husband, I'm remembering my boundary. Thank you so much. Have a good day. And you know, people may try to go beyond that, but it's still our responsibility to express, like, you know, no thank you, I'm married, yeah, or whatever. But it's our job to ensure that we express that, thank you, no, I'm fine, and then continue, and, you know, keeping that accountability partner as well abreast and kind of being your eyes and ears is helpful as well.
Yeah, that's the next one, because I think, again, like, another thing that we put in place is that, like, if someone tries to talk to you, like someone makes an attempt, we always got to tell each other,
yeah,
what happened. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say, like, because y'all obviously see Destiny, she looks very good,
and Keon is handsome to me.
You don't have to do that. I'm just talking. If she goes out and somebody tries to slide on her, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's gonna come home and say, "Hey, babe, this person tried to talk to me. This is what happened. Just mm-hmm give you a heads up," mm-hmm, or vice versa.
Yeah, like,
we just put that in place so that. Mm-hmm. It's never enough, like, caught off guard. And then also, too, like, we also don't want to be robots in it. So, yeah, like, we already agreed, like, if somebody having a conversation with you at the opposite session, like, you can have a conversation.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
But as soon as somebody tries to make an, yes, advance, then you, yes, have to shut that. Like, oh, I'm good. Like, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
Thanks for this conversation. You got to move.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that was very helpful, too.
Yeah, 100%. And I think from even, you know, having those real life, you know, experience of someone maybe advancing you, it's like, okay, no, like, one, being steadfast on, like, no is no, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And expressing that, you don't have to be rude, but you can be stern if someone, you know, is, because people can be, what's the word maybe I'm looking for? Overbearing?
Aggressive,
yes. And so, you know, you have to do your job to protect yourself as well as your marriage.
Yeah. I want to, before we kind of transition, I do want to go back to, like, for the single person or the person that's dating, like, those are our marriage boundaries. But, like, we talked about this on season one, but can we kind of revisit our dating boundaries?
Sure.
Just kind of talk through that for somebody who hasn't seen season one. So let's talk about a couple of those, if you don't
sure
mind.
So our dating boundaries were, we couldn't talk to each other before 8 o'clock,
yeah,
on the phone.
I think that was healthy.
Yeah, that was to ensure that we weren't, like, making each other, like, the first priority outside of the Lord. That we were starting our day with Jesus, that we were coming, mm-hmm, you know, spending that time, and not making them our priority. That was a big one at the beginning.
And then I think surrounding, like, protecting our purity, we had multiple boundaries.
Tons.
Like, we stopped tongue kissing.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't.
You didn't even stay here when I came.
Yeah, like, we didn't spend the night with each other.
Yeah.
Couldn't grab none of her private parts.
It sounds so.
That was wild.
It sounds so, like,
adult. I was going to say your.
What?
Your butt.
No. Amen. God is good.
Yeah, we'll
stop.
Oh, sorry. All right.
Thank you.
Then you can edit that out. But yeah, we try not to put our hands in places that need.
They don't belong. Amen. And so I think that was a big one. And I think really, like, we kind of talked about in the last episode, like, just knowing what your triggers are. If you know those and are honest with your partner, like, hey, these things get me, and if I want to honor the Lord, I have to do this. So we need to do this. And so, boundaries are healthy, they're necessary. There's nothing wrong with having them. I think it just means that you really value what you're working toward.
Yeah. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
Okay,
you
friends.
You got anything else?
I don't have anything else with the marriage boundaries. I know y'all was excited to hear them. Maybe I thought there's gonna be something, like, so deep and, you know. But we really just write with things. We write things when some of them were, we had, like Keon said, before we got married, and some of them we literally wrote after experiencing, you know, or living something. So it could be year five and we may have some extensive new, you know, some different marriage boundaries. But again, there are different ones for different people. I'm sure we probably may know people who have different boundaries and things of that nature. I don't know why I'm thinking about phones. Like, we don't care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we're not, he can get in my phone, I get in.
Yeah.
It's no big whoop.
I know your passcode.
He know my passcode, I know his. So I know that's a big deal in our society or our generation too. So we never cared about that.
I think I'm starting to think about, like, some stuff that we just kind of know,
mm-hmm,
that might not be
for
written
sure
down. Let's talk about, like, friendships. Because, cool, like, I know that's a big topic.
That is,
like,
a big topic.
Are you able to be friends with the, mm-hmm, opposite sex? How, mm-hmm, do you maneuver through that?
Mm-hmm.
I think for us is the friends who we had before each other,
Yeah.
We not, you're not the type of person that's going to say, oh, you can't be friends with her no more.
Yeah, same.
Like, and, we just, and I'm not that type of person either.
We just maneuvered in what was. I think that we have been encouraging to each other if we felt like we maybe discern something maybe about anyone, but we really haven't been like, oh, but you can't be their friend no more, or I only want you to be friends with boys. Like, no, Keon has, when I met him, he had friends who were girls or associates that were girls. He still does. I have no problem with that. And I never really had any guy friends, really. But
we are intentional about making sure our friends know each other, too.
100%.
So, like, that makes it a lot easier. 100%. Like, I don't have any friends
that I don't know.
That definitely don't know. 100%. And vice versa.
Yeah, so vice versa.
As long as you allow the partner into the relationship, I feel like it's easy.
And that brings about that security. Like, again, why would I be trying to hide my friendship from my husband? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or why would I want to bring this person in to meet the person that I've married for the, you know, rest of my life too. So I think if those kind of things, those are like, I would say, yellow red flags, if that is taking place, because, you know, this is the most important person to you. Why would you not, you know, want to bring someone in to meet that person? Yeah. So I would keep, you know, if that is something that you are experiencing, I would definitely maybe do a little bit more digging, or, you know, have a conversation with your person in regards to that.
Yeah. Daniel, it's on you, bro. Again, I think I said this before, is that if you love your partner and you value your partner, there's a certain level of humility and compromise that you're going to give up. So, like, even though there might be a boundary that you're strong on, if this provides security for that, my person, I can put that to the side. But that requires humility. That requires a relationship with Christ. Now, of course, that could also be a conversation. It's like, does this trigger something that you've experienced in the past? Are you putting that, your past experiences, on me?
Yeah.
Maybe that's something that you need to talk to a therapist about, or a friend, or get counsel on. But I still, if this is what you need in this season, I'm still going to honor that. But I don't want to leave it at that. Let's talk through this.
Yeah.
Let's figure out why you feel this way, or why you need this much security in this particular area. But still, at the end of the day, whether I agree with it or not, if it's going to provide security for my partner, I'm willing to do it, or even have a conversation around it.
That's good. I think I'm reminded of the conversation that we had in Josh Anastasia, and where he brought up, like, respect and love.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. What men want.
Yeah. And I think that was helpful for me, or for us, that conversation, because, I mean, help me if I say it incorrectly, but basically our mentor was expressing, like, men want respect and women want love.
Yeah.
And there are things that, as a woman, I may think it's okay, but it's actually, because I'm not doing anything that takes away my love from Keon, or that is tainting the love, I think it's okay, but it could inadvertently actually be disrespectful to Keon.
Yeah.
And I have to understand what respect looks like to Keon in these hypothetical situations.
Yeah.
Whether it's a cell phone, whether it's someone coming up to talk to you, and what you saying to that person. Maybe you thought that you handled it fine because you told him, no, I'm married. But he kept talking to you, and then the conversation got out of whack. If to Keon that is disrespectful, I cannot tell him, well, bae, my intention was this. I have to respect that he didn't feel respected in that. And I think marriage is about compromise and having to understand each other. And I think that when you understand that we are actually two different people, and we're coming together for one, to come in together to be one person, or be one union, I have to take into consideration your desires, or your thoughts, your perspective, because we're married now. So are there going to be times where maybe you're going to want, or you're going to maybe see something a different way that I don't see it? 100%. But back to the value. Because I value this, I can get under that desire because I value you, our marriage, more than this thing that my thought perspective.
Yeah.
And I don't mind shifting to your perspective or your need or desire because I value you and you mean that much to me. So while the way that I might have handled it to me might have been okay, if it was not to you, I feel like there's a way that we communicate to come to a median.
And let's say y'all not in the space where y'all can come to that. Mm-hmm. That's where you need to have a couple who has fruit from their marriage.
Yes, who you trust. And
you trust.
Yeah.
Hop on the Zoom.
Yeah, help them talk it through.
Meet up for lunch.
Yeah.
Hey, this is where we are right now. Mm-hmm. I believe that this is what we need to do. And she or he believes that this is what we need to put in place. Could you give us some insight or wisdom on how to handle this?
And I think when they share that wisdom, be okay with the fact that it may be different than what you were thinking,
right.
You know? And just be open to the thought process of, again, 9 times out of 10, the people that you're going to are going to be more seasoned than you. They're going to be able to give you a different level of perspective, different wisdom. So be open to the fact, like, you know, it's not what I was thinking, but that was really helpful. Or that was helpful for me to understand your thought process or vice versa. But I think that when you if you do reach that medium where you truly cannot, where you truly cannot understand what is needed, you totally do need to bring somebody else in 100%.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think just off the rip, what comes to my heart is just like, make sure you give grace to each other.
Yeah.
Because like, you're essentially about to go through an unlearning process that's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
So if you've been doing something for X amount of years, you can't expect your partner to just switch their mind and start doing a whole new behavior for something they've been practicing for 10, 15, 20, 30, 2, 5, however long. So you want to give grace to yourself and to your partner, but then you also want to be intentional about putting a plan in place so that you can't unlearn these things. Yeah. So let's say, hey, this ain't working for us. We need to come into agreement. Again, do we need to invite another couple in?
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to talk about some of the situations that's happened in the past? Like, you might be carrying some hurt from 5 years ago that's preventing you from making new changes. So you want to make sure that you invite people in to talk that through. Talking with your partner, putting a concrete plan in place. Again, like, our stuff is in our phone. Like, we really wrote all this stuff out. Like, we had long conversations about all these things because you got to be intentional about this stuff. Like, if you really value this, if you really want to see fruit from your marriage, you got to put some work in. Like, there's no way around it. It's not an overnight process. So you just got to be intentional about the work.
I think I would say that I'll remind the person who is on the more like, I want to just stick to the way we've been doing it, that change is good. Like, change is healthy. And maybe just because you've been doing something one way does not mean that you can't ever, like, it has to remain this way forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would even add, maybe for the person who doesn't want to change it, or who does want to change, maybe you start being that, like, you start being the example, if that makes sense. Like, while you may not, if you're an example, if you're the person who doesn't want to, but I want to, I think you may just have to begin to implement them for yourself, if that makes sense.
Okay.
In order for them to maybe see like the benefit of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Depending on what it is, I guess.
Yeah, because it's a very, like, it can go a lot of different ways.
What?
The question. Like, I feel like it's so many different layers to it.
To it, yeah. I think,
it's like, you can really, like...
And I think it may also depend on, or depend on what the thing is that doesn't want to be changed.
But I would say, like, I would say, honestly, also, too, is that... Because I see now with the question, another layer of the question is, like, this person wants to change, and this person is adamant about not changing.
Yeah.
And I think another thing, which is, again, it might be cliche, but, like, just praying and intervening on that person's behalf.
For their heart to change.
On some real live fast and slim. Like, you gotta not eat for some days, straight water, like going in your, on your knees, like really intervening for your person. Like, you'll be surprised what prayer can do.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a art that we can't lose in marriage. Like, that is a key component. Mm-hmm. So that would just be another practical tool. It's like, man, prayer. Your person is stubborn or your person is modeled. That was a great example. Like, model it, but also pray for them. Like, really intervene on your person's heart.
Because I think sometimes when we want to see change, you try to, like, make it happen immediately.
It's like, why don't you see this? Like, this is obvious. It's but like, that's not how change works.
The Lord can truly do amazing things when you give him the space to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And I think if you just start, you know, maybe you should say yes to things before and now you start saying no, you know, or you, I think that also shows the person maybe also how serious you are about wanting this thing. If we used to do this thing and now I'm noticing that, hey, I don't want it. It's not good for us. I think when you take a flat footed stance on it, that also shows the person like, I might not agree, but you really like, you show me, maybe I should take into consideration what you're saying, or like, you really serious about this. Like, let's talk about it more. And so I think that's another way too.
I think that's what I should have said in the initial response about the plan, is that like, really outline why we're making this change.
Because
I think when you're communicating a change, it's really important of what that initial vision or initial casting as to why we're changing. How that's communicated is very important.
100%.
Like, you can't just be like, all right, it's time for us to stop going to Wegmans no more. Like, we need to go to Aldi. So we got, you know, like, why are we switching? No, hey, babe, like, I really feel like in this season, we need to save some money. I want to take a big trip next year. Wegmans is a little more expensive. So let's go to Aldi so we can save for the next 4 months. What's your thoughts around this? Let's pray on this. That's a totally different conversation than like, we're not going to Wegmans no more. But I love Wegmans food. Why we got to, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's an easy.
A real one, I feel like, is maybe they was having sex and now the person is feeling convicted about having sex and they're like, I want to stop having sex now. Okay, why do you want to stop having sex? Well, because now I know, I understand why God told me not to do it anymore. I know why God purposed it for marriage. Like, and I think when you can really, like you say, like, back it up or express those things, it's like,
But you got to stand on
And that's why I said, you have to be the change. You have to be the change.
You got
to
stand on
If you're the person,
it.
If that's you, you know, y'all been having sex and you feeling convicted, but the other person isn't.
And clarify that that's before marriage.
Correct.
We talk about
course,
people dating.
Of course, not in marriage. If you're dating and things like that, and you feeling like the tug to not, and you're like, well, if I stop, you know, I'm sure you could be having all the thoughts, but when you set that example, it's something that I feel, and you begin to pray for the Lord to do the work on the other person. You don't know what could happen by you standing flat-footed on the word of God and being obedient to whatever the tug is that you're feeling. So,
yeah. Can I just say one thing to that topic and then we can stop? Because we get this conversation all the time. We get people who reach out to us like, man, why he ain't proposed? Why he taking so long? Everybody's situation is different. But, like, it's very important for, particularly for women, to stand on your morals and your values and your standards. Like, if you know that this is what God is calling you to do, you know that God's calling you to be pure and not to do these things, don't feel like you got to give it up to give a ring, because that is not contrary to what culture says. That's not how it needs to be.
Yeah. And I think,
and also too, for men too, the way you set a standard is in the beginning is how she's going to follow you in marriage. So if you try to slab, you try to do all those things prematurely, don't expect her to submit to you and follow you as a godly man when you get married and think that it's going to be easy.
Amen.
Even from a master, that's something I had to learn. I couldn't expect her to submit to me, but I'm trying to get into her panties. You see how I rhyme?
You trying to rhyme? Jesus Christ. Help this man, y'all. But no, I think that was a really good question. And, you know, I hope that our conversation may challenge you to make your boundary list. You know,
have some hard conversations.
Have some hard conversations. And just maneuver in that. So we can't wait to hear. If y'all do make some boundaries, we would love for you guys to DM us and, let us know if this created conversation amongst you and your partner. So we would love to be able just to say, we would love to hear your boundaries or just hear your thoughts or just walk with you through it. So shoot us a DM, comment, and you guys know where to find us. Always, always here on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
Peace.